Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. Glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2. And I'm going to be preaching on some verses today that I quote constantly on this program. If you watch this program any at all, you probably heard me quote this verse, especially verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, I'm going to start at verse 8. I'm going to go through verse 10 and maybe a few more verses. But the title of the message is God's Workmanship. God's Workmanship. And these verses state out in the clearest way some of the most fundamental principles of the Bible, of salvation itself, of the gospel, the heart of the gospel. And it is that salvation, the salvation of sinners. And that's what we all are. We all quote Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's the glory that can only be found fulfilled in Christ. We always fall short of that, not even at our best. But God saves sinners not by their works, but by His free, sovereign grace. Amazing grace. And grace is a term that we need to understand in the Scriptures. For example, whenever we talk about grace, people will say, "Well, it's a free gift." Well, what does that mean? Because you see, a lot of people are deceived on this issue about grace. For example, a lot of people claim that grace is God helping us do what we need to do in order to attain or maintain salvation. But that's not true. That's what one old preacher called a cleverly disguised system of works. You'll hear the phrase sometimes, the saying, "God helps those who help themselves." Well, that's not in the Bible. And certainly as we go through life and our jobs, our families, and our responsibilities, we are to do our best to help ourselves. But when it comes to salvation, we will not help ourselves in the right way. Man by nature is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And he cannot do anything to gain or maintain his own salvation. And spiritual death, I preached on that a few weeks back here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Look at it. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, what is that quickening? It's the giving of life. Here, it's the giving of spiritual life. You see, the Bible teaches us that man fell in Adam into sin and death, a state of sin and death. And that's what we're in by nature. As we are naturally born into this world, we are in a state of sin and death. And that death is not just physical death. It's also spiritual death. And spiritual death is the absence of spiritual life. And what that means is that the greatest evidence of spiritual death, being dead spiritually, is that we have no knowledge of, no desire for, no ability to lay hold of and believe and live by the things that glorify God, especially in the salvation of sinners. We all want salvation. Even spiritually dead sinners want salvation, but they want it their own way. We want it our own way by nature, not God's way. Because God's way doesn't give us any room to boast. And I often make the distinction between the true gospel of God's grace, and all false gospels by using this. The true gospel teaches us salvation, all of salvation, every aspect of salvation is conditioned on Christ and Him alone, and He fulfilled all those conditions and ensured the eternal salvation of all for whom He died unto glory. All false gospels teach salvation at some stage, in some way, to some degree, conditioned on man, to where man can boast, I made the difference. And they may say, well, God did 98% of it, but I made the difference with my 2%. And that's what this verse is telling us. By grace are you saved. Through faith. You say, well, you must believe. Yeah, through faith. But that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so in order to be saved by grace and understand grace and lay hold of grace, we have to be quickened, and you have He quickened. That quickening there is the giving of spiritual life. It's the new birth. You remember Christ said, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see it, you can't understand it. The natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And so all he can do is live by what he knows, and all he knows is salvation conditioned on himself. And so whenever we come to this issue of grace, there's several things that we have to understand about. If salvation is by grace, then that means, number one, we cannot earn it. This is not a wage. We quote Romans 6:23 all the time. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is not a wage that we earn. It's a gift from God. So number one about grace, you cannot earn it. And then secondly, you can never deserve it. Grace is not deserved. Grace is for the guilty. You see, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, those who cannot earn it and cannot deserve it. So when it comes to salvation and all of the blessings of salvation, by grace, I cannot earn or deserve the least of God's blessings. And the third thing you need to understand about grace is that it comes to God's people on the basis of the justice of God satisfied by Christ. In fact, we could just say it this way. All grace for God's people is in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? That's justice. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. That is, God justly gives somebody eternal life, but not based upon their works, not because they deserve it or earn it, but grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no grace from God to sinners apart from Christ. We could say the same thing about mercy. Mercy is undeserved and unearned. If you can earn it or deserve it, it's not mercy, it's not grace. And we can say the same thing about God's love. God's love is unearned and undeserved. People today have the impression that God loves everybody because everybody deserves to be loved, when in fact, none of us deserve to be loved. We're all enemies of God by nature. And so He loves His people. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation, the justice satisfying sacrifice, who made satisfaction, the propitiation for our sins. And that's talking about God's people, believers. You see, I've often talked about God's hatred on this program, and I know people don't like to hear me. God's hatred is not a sinful hatred. It's simply God giving some sinners what they deserve. And that's God's prerogative. He told Moses, he said, I'll have mercy, I'll be gracious to whom I will. Now, do you want God's mercy? Do you want God's love? Do you want God's grace? It can only be found in Christ. By nature, we won't come to Christ. We have to be quickened. So have I been quickened? Well, do I love God's grace? Do I love the preaching of God's grace? Do I believe God's grace? Well, he says in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved. Now, well, does that mean I don't have to do anything or I don't do anything? No, he says it's through faith. Now, that's by means of faith. How do sinners realize the grace of God? It's through God-given faith. And that faith is the gift of God. It's not of ourselves. Preachers today, false preachers, they act as if everybody has some spark of goodness and all they have to do is be eloquent enough or emotional enough or persuasive enough to fan that spark and get them to make the right decision. And so they devise all kinds of what they call evangelical methods to get people to respond to their preaching in a positive way. Get them down the aisle. Say this prayer. Pray this prayer after me. And then get them into the baptistry and baptize them and tell them they're saved. But that's not biblical. My persuasion is not going to persuade you to believe what I know to be true. It's going to take it's the work of God. And that's why I called this message God's workmanship. But God gives faith in the new birth. The Bible over in the book of John, if you want to look there with me, in John chapter 1, it talks about receiving Christ. And that's one of the ways that the Bible describes a believer. He's one who receives Christ in the truth and the glory of His person and the power of His finished work. And it says in John 1:11, talking about Christ, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now that's man by nature. If left to ourselves, without the work of God, the sovereign work of God, the Holy Spirit, giving us spiritual life, quickening us, we will not receive the true Christ. We'll receive a counterfeit who saves us with our help. We'll receive the one who'll give us what we want based upon our decision, but we won't receive the true Christ. But in verse 12 of John 1, it says, But as many as received Him. Now there are some who receive Him. There's some who will not receive Him, and there's some who will receive Him. Some who will not believe in Him, some who will. What's the difference between those two people? Well, the one who will receive Him is a better person, maybe. Or maybe they're more persuaded, or they're less obstinate, less rebellious. Is that what the Bible teaches? The answer is no, for by grace are you saved. So what does it tell us here? Look at John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now that word power does not mean ability. There are times in the New Testament when the word power does mean ability. Like for example in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That word, we get our English word dynamite. But now this word here, power, means the right or the privilege to be called a son of God. I'm a child of God, a son of the Most High. What right do I have to make that claim? I have no right based upon anything I've done. I have no right to make that claim based upon anything I deserve or have earned. Well, it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power, the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What is my right to be called, to call myself a child of God? I believe on His name. Now, his name is that which identifies and distinguishes him from all idols. He's the God of this universe. He's the God who created this world. He's the God of salvation who saves by grace. He justifies the ungodly. Now, as I quoted that passage in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That term, the righteousness of God, is his name. Christ is Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's the Hebrew alliteration, you might say, or not alliteration, but the transliteration of that term in Jeremiah 23 and Jeremiah 13, which is the Lord our righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, it's perfect satisfaction to God's justice. Where am I going to find that perfect? That's what God requires. God requires perfection. The perfection of righteousness. And where am I going to find that? It's not in me. There's none righteous, no, not one. I can't perform enough, well enough to get it. Where am I going to find it? In Christ. In Christ, I find the perfection of righteousness that God requires. And in Him, it's full. I didn't contribute one iota to that righteousness. It's His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. Now that's his name. And so back here in John 1 and verse 12, where he talks about even to them that believe on his name, look at verse 13. He says, to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now what birth is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the new birth, and he says, which were born not of blood, not of physical birth, nor of the will of the flesh. That's the works of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. It wasn't by our own free will that we were born, as preachers will tell people, but born of God. We're God's workmanship. Now go back to Ephesians 2, verse 8 again. For by grace are you saved. But it's not grace in an unjust way. It's given to sinners who don't deserve it, don't earn it, based upon the righteousness of God's Son, based upon the work of Christ, the merits of Christ, His righteousness imputed. Where God imputes, charges, accounts that righteousness to His people through Christ, their surety, He will give them life. He will quicken them and give them faith. And so that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now let me give you, before I go on, let me show you one more thing. Many preachers who want to say that faith is a condition that we meet of our own free will say that when it says, and that not of yourselves, that goes back to salvation and not to faith. Well, that's a lie. First of all, it does go back to salvation. For by grace are you saved. Salvation is not of yourselves. But salvation, my friend, includes believing. It includes faith. That's not of yourself either. There's no rule of biblical interpretation that would allow me to honestly separate salvation and faith here. It's all of God's grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now go to verse 10. Here's the summation of it, right here. Here's what puts it in perspective. For we are His workmanship. Now who is we there? That's believers. Sinners saved by grace through faith, which is not of themselves, neither the salvation nor the faith. Both are the gift of God, not of works. So the we here is believers. It's not all without exception. If you don't believe the true gospel, don't include yourself in the we. For we, and what are we? We are God's workmanship. Not our own. We're not self-made people. We're not people who helped God make ourselves. God didn't do His part and then we do ours. God did it all. Salvation is of the Lord. The righteousness in which I stand before God is the righteousness of God. Meaning, it's the entire merit of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as my surety, my substitute, and my redeemer. That's what it is. I didn't contribute to it. I don't put it into effect by my believing. In fact, my believing is the fruit and the result of His righteousness. The Bible teaches, you can read all this in Ephesians chapter 1, that God chose His people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. Turned their entire well-being eternally over to Christ. Placed all of their sins on Him, imputing our sins to Him. The debt. He became the surety of the covenant of grace. The enactment, the establishment, and the fulfilling of the terms of the covenant of grace were squarely on Christ, not on me and not on you. And that's what He did. That's the covenant of grace. And God, who chose us, sent Christ to die for the sins of His sheep, His chosen people, His church, because justice had to be satisfied. God is a loving God. He is a gracious God. He is a merciful God, but not at the expense of His justice. His justice must be satisfied. God must punish sin. And He must punish sinners to whom sin is imputed. And that's why David cried out, as quoted in Romans 4 and verse 6, when he described the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are His workmanship. A sinner saved by grace is the workmanship of God. The true church of the living God, made up of individuals saved by grace, is the workmanship of God. Now, how did He create us? Look at it in verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's how. It's by virtue of Jesus Christ, who is none other than God, manifest in the flesh. It is by virtue of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, my righteousness. It's based upon His blood to put away all my sins. That's what it is to be justified. Over in Romans 1:17, when it says, the just shall live by faith.
There's nothing in your music library.
The justified shall live by faith. And so, when God sent His Son into the world to die for the sins of His sheep, that's what Christ was doing. He was shedding His blood unto death as the complete and total payment for all the sins of all for whom He died. And His death, He fulfilled justice. He satisfied the law. And He brought forth everlasting righteousness that would enable God to be just and justifier. That's how we're created in Christ Jesus. And then somebody may ask, they say, well, where do good works come in? Where do what we do come in? Where does that come in? Well, listen to what He says. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now, usually when I quote that verse, I'll say unto, not because of. In other words, good works is the product. Good works is the fruit, the result, the effect, not the cause. There's no merit in good works because all the merit is in Christ. For by grace are you saved. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Good works, what would that include? Well, that would include faith in Christ. That would include repentance of dead works. You see, what is a good work? A good work is that which is motivated by God the Holy Spirit, presented to God under the blood of Christ, acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. And so, the good work here is faith in Christ, repentance of dead works, and perseverance. continuing looking to Christ, walking in Him, walking by His Word, seeking to be conformed to His image, fighting the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. And that's the result, the fruit, the effect, the product of God's grace in Christ, of His righteousness imputed. And it says here, look here, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained," prepared, "that we should walk in them." This is not something that takes God by surprise. This is not something that God is in heaven just looking down on earth, just hoping that you will cooperate or you will do. Listen, the salvation of His people, based upon the righteousness and the blood of His Son, that will bring them to saving faith, that is, give them life and bring them to faith and repentance and perseverance, this is all the foreordination of God. That's right. And that's what, read Ephesians 1, read the whole chapter. Go back to Romans 8 and 9. That's what it is. This is something that God has foreordained for His people. It's not if they will. It's they will. That's the nature of the covenant of grace. God says, He doesn't say, "I will if they will," or "I will if you will." No, He says, "I will and they shall, you shall." This is God's work. We're God's workmanship. We're not self-made people. We're miracles. If we're saved by the grace of God through faith unto good works, we are miracles of God's grace based upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that's said in this book about the eternal spiritual salvation of a sinner is founded right there. I don't care what it is. When it talks about good works, when it talks about obedience, when it talks about blessing, that's what it's about. We're God's workmanship. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.